The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sota has been dedicated by our good friends and Talmid, Mr. Haimi and Dina Dana, Hashem Yishmonem V'Chayim, for the success of their children, and especially the Fu'as Shelema Moshe Ben Dina, ולעילוי נשמת יוסף בן סרינה, דוד בן פרידה, נעיר בן זוהרה, משה בן פייגה רות, שרה בת אסתר, פייגה רות בת אסתר, אל אסתר בת יוכבת. רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תזכו למצוות.
דף כף א', תראה, דף זה בגסטור ידנו נשמת, מרת זקנתי, יפה בצרה, ומור זקני, יוסף בן סרה. ורבי אברהם בן אסתר, רוח השם תניחם בגן עדן, אמן. תראה, זה דפס בישראל בפואש של אמה, משה בן דינה, שרה רוחמה בת רחל ושרה בת רחל, אין לה רפנה להם מפת הנפש, מפת הגוף, ואתם כנבא לבו, וכן ירסו ולומר, אמן. תראה, זה דפס, on חף עמוד בית, and we are starting from the two dots on the bottom third of the עמוד, יש לה זכות, הייתה תולה. Let's review what Amishnah said. Amishnah said, we'll go a little quicker, Amishnah said that what? That if the lady has a zechut, a certain zechut mitzvah of some sort, so the waters will be suspended. We had a three-way machlok in the Mishnah. One opinion said that the waters are actually suspended for 1 year, right? Zechut tolela, we said for 1 year. Some say 2 years, and we had another opinion that actually said 3 years. So therefore, we have to see exactly who the author of our Mishnah is. Come to Gemara and begins. Mani Maniti, who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo Abba Yosef ben Hanan, ve lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzhak, ish kefar darom, ve lo Rabbi Ishmael. It's not one of the following three opinions. The Tanya, im yesh la zechut, if she has a zechut of some sort, tola la shlosha chodashim. Okay, first opinion. The waters will be suspended for 3 months. Kedeh hakara ta'ubar. The amount of time that it takes for the lady to show, which means when the child already is visible, right, that's usually the third month. Devre Rabbi Abba, that is the opinion of, or Devre Abba Yosef ben Hanan. So again, he goes according to the opinion of Hakarat Ta'ubar. He bases it on the pasuk that says, V'niketa, that if she will be clean, V'nizru'a zara, it'll be for the amount of time that it takes the zera to be noticeable. V'niketa, in the event that she's clean because she has a zechut, how long is that zechut tolala? V'nizru'a zara, the amount of time that the zera takes to be seen, which normally is 3 months. That's when a lady starts to usually show. Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzhak ish kefar darom omer tet chodashim. No, the suspension is 9 months. Shene emar v'niketa, she will be clean, meaning if she has a zechut, v'nizru'a zara, it says the word zara. U'lhalan omer, we have another pasuk that says, zera ya'avdenu yisupar, that the seed will, or the child will actually sing and speak. So the Gemara says, Zera ra'uy l'sapir. When is the child technically able to speak? When he comes out of the womb. So that's a 9 months. We make a Gezera Shema Zera Zera. So far we have a Shita of 3 months. We have another Shita of 9 months. Gemara continues. Rabbi Yishmael Omer Rabbi Yishmael says, Shenem Asar Chodesh. Actually the suspension is 12 months. Even though there's not an explicit proof, but we have a zeche. Zeche means there's a remez to this. Now let's review the story over. This is going back now to a story of Daniel, Ish Hamudot, when he was talking to the king Nebuchadnezzar after he had a dream. Daniel went and interpreted the dream. Part of the dream was that Nebuchadnezzar was going to become like a wild animal and become actually the king of the jungle. He was going to use it. He was going to lose his humanity side of him and become like an animal. What Daniel is going to tell Nebuchadnezzar is that you're going to be able to suspend this judgment against you if you are kind to the poor people and you give tzedakah. The Gemara says, "Dichtiv lehon malka or lehen malka." Which is, he's telling the king, Adonai HaMelech, Malki Yishpar Alach, my king will do good to you. Meaning God will have mercy on you. How? V'hata'ach bistaka firuk. Which means, by giving tzedakah, you will redeem your sin. Ve'avayatach b'mihan anayan. And your sin will be atoned or suspended, as we'll see, because you'll have mercy on the poor people. Okay? Good, thank you. That's exactly what he told them. Excuse me. So the Gemara says, "Hen teheve arka lishlevatech." By giving tzedakah and being good to the poor people, there's going to be a delay on your. There's going to be delay, which means you're going to have more peace. You'll have an elongated time of peace. Nebuchadnezzar. Uchtiv. Kolna meta al Nebuchadnezzar malka. At the end, the poor anut, the troubles came on Nebuchadnezzar. When? Uchtiv niksat yarhin tere asar. After 12 months. So you see what? That the zechut is toleh, the person has a zechut, it's 12 months. We haven't found an opinion yet of 3 years. So who's the opinion in the Mishnah that says zechut is toleh 3 years? We saw 3 months, we saw 9 months, we even saw by Nebuchadnezzar that by him giving charity to the poor people, it suspended it for 12 months. Now, I can tell you that it's a Bishmael, but I thought the Bishmael said 12 months. No. We found another pasuk that says the Amar v'tane, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it says, has patience for 3 times. How do we know? Dichtiv ko Amar Hashem al shtol shelosha v'shei Edom, that God waited for the 3 sins of Edom before He punished them, which means God waits the measure of 3 times. So what's the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael? 1 year, 3 times 1 year is 3 years. So I can say the opinion of the 3 years of the Mishnah is actually to be Yishma'el. Because we see that God does wait a measure of 3 times. Comes the Gemara and says, "Umay afapish en da'yan devazich ledavar." Now why did you tell me that you have a remez that God waits 1 year? It's explicit. God told Nebuchadnezzar to Daniel that if you give tzedakah, you'll have peace for 1 year. That's not a remez. That's explicit. So the Gemara comes along and says, "Dilma shani of dekochavim." Which means, could be goyim are different. Because maybe God is more tolerant before punishing the goyim, and He does punishment for the Jews much quicker. And there's a logic to that. Could be God wants to punish the Jews in this world, to clean them up, so when they get to the next world, they're all done already. Mashen the goyim, God waits maybe a little longer time for the goyim, in order to wait until their pile of sins are so high, so we can destroy them in totality. In any event, that's why it's only a remez, because maybe you can't bring a proof from the fact that God waited 12 months for Nebuchadnezzar, and then God waits 3 times that amount for Edom. Maybe the Goyim have a different system. That's why the Gemara says, "Afapisha in ra'aya ledavar, zeche ledavar." But we can say that that's the opinion really of our Mishnah, is going live. Rabbi Ishmael comes to Gemara and says, "Now we said that she has a zechut. Now we got to get into the nitty gritty. What zechut are we talking about over here? What mitzvah can a lady have that you're going to tell me it's going to indeed suspend the judgment?" So comes the Gemara and says, "Zechut demai." What zechut? Ilima zechut de Torah ha'ena mitzvah ve'osahi. Which means, maybe you'll tell me the zechut of her learning. A lady is not obligated to learn Torah. The pasuk says, "V'nemaditim otam et benechem." There's no obligation to teach girls Torah. Therefore, her reward is not going to be that great in order to suspend the waters. So the Gemara says, "Ela zechut de mitzvah." Oh, must be talking about the zechut of the mitzvah that she did. Gemara says, "Zechut de mitzvah mi magna kulehai." Does a mitzvah have the ability to protect from puranut, from troubles? Which means, no one argues, a mitzvah is a great thing. But does a mitzvah have such a power to protect a person from judgment or from calamity and from tragedy? Ve'at Tanya, we have a bright, I'm going to read this bright together. Etzu darash Rabbi Menachem bar Yossi. Kiner mitzvah ve'torah or. The mitzvah is compared to a candle, and Torah is compared to a light like the sun. The Torah compares the mitzvah to a candle and the Torah to the sun. Et mitzvah bener. What's the analogy? No malach. Ma ner ena megina ena nefisha'a. Which means a candle only protects a person to give him light temporarily correct, which means when he's on the road, he needs to find his way, so he has a temporary candle. Af mitzvah in a megina ena nefisha'a, which means a mitzvah is limited. It's like a ned. It only protects a person from small things. Not they cannot protect them really from a big major calamity. Veta Torah be'or, but the Torah is compared to the sun. Just like the sun is able to protect a person in totally, which is from all the different dangers of the road. Af Torah megina le'olam. So too the Torah is able to protect the person. Not only it's able to protect them from troubles, but it's also able to protect them from sin. Like the Gemara is going to say that the Torah is able to protect the person even from the yetzer hara. Ve'omer, and the pasuk says, "Bethalechecha tanhei otach." And the Gemara's Doresh, "Bethalechecha tanhei otach." When you will walk with the Torah, it'll walk with you. Ze'ah olam hazeh. And the Torah will protect the person and give him minuha in this world from all his troubles. Bishokbecha tishmor alecha. When the person lies down, the Torah will protect him. Zumita. And the Torah will save him from all the troubles of death, from the tzarot that happened at the time of death. Vakitzota. When he gets up, he tesi'echa le'atid lavo. That means when after he dies, and now the Torah is going to protect him from the yisurim of Gehinam. Mashal le'adam shayam malik bishon laila v'afilam. The guy was walking in the middle of the night, pitch black, dark, he was scared from three things. Min ha'kotzim pehatim. That's from like the potholes in the road, you can't see them. Umina barkanim, that's like the different thorns and thistles that are on the road. Umihayara amin al-istim, and he was also scared from the wild animals and the robbers. Ve'enu yodaya ve'ezeh derech me'alech. He doesn't know, the road, he doesn't know which road to take. Vizdamnalo avukashin ur, let's say he gets a torch. He's safe from two out of the three. He's safe from the thorns, and he's safe also from the potholes. However, so too, when a person fulfills mitzvot, he's safe from some things. Which we cannot say the mitzvot doesn't save him from anything. It does save him, but not from everything. But he's still scared from the wild animals at night and from the robbers. And he still doesn't know which road he's on. But once the sun comes up, so already he's saved from everything. He's saved from the wild animals. And the sun is referring to Torah. Which is once the sun comes up, the person is saved from everything. From Pur'anut and from the Yetzer Hara as well. However, but he's still lost. Even though the sun comes up, he still lost his road. He gia the parashat derachim. When he gets to the crossroads, nitzal mikulam. Then he's saved from all the issues. Similarly, a person in this world, when he learns Torah, keeps mitzvot, but we don't know if he's going to make it to the end of his life. However, maybe the Yetzer Hara is going to get him at the end. Maybe he's going to lose his road. However, when he gets to the day of death, and he's still studying Torah, and he's still learning, and he has the zechut of the Torah, then we know he made it. He made it to his destination. But what do you see from over here? We stop for a moment. Mitzvot are very powerful, but they're not as powerful as Torah. And therefore, how did you tell me that the zechut of a mitzvah is going to protect her? It seems that the zechut of a mitzvah is not so strong to protect from the troubles like Torah is. And when it comes to Torah, the lady is not commanded. Gemara continues. We can understand another interpretation of what does it mean, kiner mitzvah, which means when a person commits a sin, it's able to extinguish the mitzvah. What does it mean to extinguish the mitzvah? That a person will lose the protective benefit of a mitzvah. Normally, maybe I can tell you that what a mitzvah protects. But once a person commits an avera, the avera extinguishes, and therefore you're not going to get reward for the mitzvah. Just like it's possible to extinguish a candle. Kiner mitzvah. Just like you can extinguish a candle, a mitzvah also can be extinguished. Ve'en avera mechabat Torah. However, you can't extinguish the sun, so too you cannot extinguish Torah. Even an avera cannot extinguish the protection of the mitzvah. Shne'emar, ma'im rabbim, lo yochenu lechabot It ha'ahaba. Ma'im Rabim is referring to a lot of averot. Ma'im Rabim. Ahaba is referring to Torah. Right? And what is it saying over here? That the averot will not be able to extinguish the power of Torah. But what do you see over here? You see, bottom line from this braita, that as great as mitzvot are, they do not have the ability to protect the person from puranut. So therefore, which zechut does this lady have that she's going to be protected from the waters? What's the zechut? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef gives a rule. Now understand Rav Yosef clearly. He says, really, it's the mitzvah that the lady does. And he explains, U'mitzvah bi'idnat de'asikba. At the time that a person does a mitzvah, magna u'matzla. Listen to this, get these words good, magna. It'll save him from pur'anut, from trouble. U'matzla, it'll save him from the yetzer hara, from sin. At the time a person is involved in the mitzvah, it's magna u'matzla. Again, it protects him from pur'anut and it saves him from the yetzer hara. But Rabbi Yosef says, at the time that a person finishes the mitzvah, it can still protect them, but it's not going to save him from the yetzer hara, which means, really, a mitzvah can protect a person in this world, according to Rabbi Yosef, even after he finished the mitzvah, even after it was over. Which means, and that which the Gemara said above, that a mitzvah doesn't have the ability to protect, it meant it doesn't have ability to protect from sin, which is a mitzvah, after the mitzvah is done, it cannot protect from sin, but it can protect from pur'anut. So again, let's get clarity. According to Rabbi Yosef, what's the zechut of the sota? Zechut of the mitzvah. Oh, but I thought you said that the zechut of the mitzvah does not protect. No. After the mitzvah is over, it does not protect from the yetzer hara, but it can still protect the person from troubles that will come. However, Torah is different. Ben bi'inad de asikba, u ben bi'inad de lo asikba, magna umatzla. The Torah protects a person, whether at the time that he's learning or even when he finishes. And what does it protect him from? From everything. From sin, and then it protects the person as well from pur'anut. So therefore, Torah is on a higher level, but again, according to Rabbi Yosef, we've answered our question. That indeed a mitzvah can protect the person. Comes the Gemara, Matkif la Rabba, Ela Me'ata. Oh, you're coming to tell me whether the zechut of the Torah protects a person even after he finishes learning. Then what do you mean? Do'eg va'aitofel. Do'eg and aitofel with a sha'im. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, they both lost their helek, le'olam abba. Mi lo aske ba'Torah? Didn't they study Torah? The Gemara says they studied a lot of Torah. Amai lo higina alayu. How come the Torah did not protect them from the yetzer hara? You just told me the Torah protects a person whether he's learning, whether he's not learning, even if he finishes. How come it didn't protect the doeg and ha'itofen? So you know what Rava says? Rava has a whole different understanding of how Torah and mitzvot work. Ela ma Rava, Torah, bi'inad de'asikba. At the time that a person is studying Torah, magna umatzla. It saves a person from troubles, and it also protects a person from the yetzer hara. Bi'inad de'lo asikba. But after a person closes the book and he's not learning, agunem magna, it'll protect him from troubles. Atsune lo matzla. But it's not going to save him from the yetzer hara. And that's what happened to Doeg and Ha'itofen. When they closed the book, they were again vulnerable to the yetzer hara. Mitzvah. Now Rava has a different interpretation of mitzvot work. Mitzvot ben bi'idnat da'asik, ben bi'idnat de'lo asik ba. Whether you're fulfilling the mitzvah or even after you finished it, agunim magna atzulein lo matzla. A mitzvah will always protect you, according to Rava, but it'll never save you from the yetzer hara. Which is, according to Rava, mitzvot cannot protect from the yetzer hara. Only Torah is able to protect from the yetzer hara, and only when you are learning the Torah. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosef, he says no, mitzvot are even able to protect the person from the yetzer hara when you're fulfilling the mitzvah. And Torah can protect the person from the yetzer hara, according to Rabbi Yosef, even after he finishes learning. So we have a great machlok between Rabbi Yosef and Rava, exactly on the mechanics, how Torah and mitzvot work. But we have answered our question. Our question was, what zechut does the sota have? Zechut of the mitzvah. It might not protect the person from yetzer hara after the mitzvah is over, but all agree it can protect the person from the Pur'anud, agunem bagnan. Therefore, the mitzvah that you do, whatever mitzvah that is, can suspend the waters for however long of time. Comes the Gemara and says a different answer. Ravina amar le'olam zichu Torah. I'll tell you, it's the Torah is going to protect her. What do you mean? Udekamar, you just told me earlier, ena mitzuvah ve'osa, she's not commanded. So if she's not commanded, how much reward can she get? It's not such a big zikut for her. How does it protect her? Yeah. You're right, she's not commanded. However, be'agra de'mekaryan u'metanyan benayu, in the zikut, that she troubles herself in order to bring her children to the yeshiva to read mikra and to study mishnah, v'natran li'u le'gavrayu, and they wait for their husbands patiently at home till they come home from the yeshiva. So therefore, ad atum be midrash till they come home from the bet midrash, lo mi lo palgan badayu. Don't they split the reward? Didn't we learn that they split the reward? So therefore, you're right, zechut Torah, not her Torah. The Torah of her children and the Torah of her husband, where she's a 50% partner, that is able to serve her and save her from the sota waters. At least save her temporarily where there will be a suspension. Gemara continues. We brought a mashal above. The mashal above was, a guy's walking in the middle of the night. It's pitch black, he can't see anything. He has a torch in his hand. We said, well, the torch doesn't help him that much. It's only saved him from the potholes, right? And from the thorns and the thistles, things like that. Once the morning comes, that's the Torah. Torah protects a person from everything. And then once he gets to the crossroads, Nitzon Mekulam. So we want to know, what is this crossroads that we're talking about in the mashal? The Gemara says, Mai parashat derachim, Amar Rav Chisda ze tamid hacham ve'yom amita. Parashat derachim, the crossroads is the day of death, which is actually the crossroads between this world and the next world. And the Gemara is coming to say that when a person leaves this world and he's a tamid hacham, which means he fought the battle and he won the battle, he got to the end of his life and he's still studying Torah, so when he got to the crossroads, then you know he's saved from everything. That's it. There's no more Yetzirah in the grave. And therefore, it is the Parashat Derachim. Now he knows he's not going to be tempted anymore. This is talking about a scholar that also has with himself Yiratet, fear of sin. You see, sometimes wisdom is not enough. Wisdom can only tell a person what's permissible, what's forbidden. But if he has no fear of sin, so therefore he can know what's permissible, what's forbidden, and still transgress. So therefore, it says, who's safe? Who reaches the crossroads and not to worry? You need two things. You need to know right and wrong. And once you know right and wrong, you have to have fear of sin in order to be scared to do the avon. That person is totally saved. Last opinion, Mor Sutra Amar, Ze Tamid Hakam, Desal Kadesh Mateta, Aliba Dehilcheta. This is talking about a student that finally his words are accepted according to the halakha. Which means a person could study all his life, but he doesn't come up with the right answers. Anytime he says halakha, his friends challenge him, and they override him. When he reads Parashat Derachim, that means a student that studies enough Torah, where already all his halakhot are going to be so clear, they're going to be accepted by the people. That's already, he knows, he has reached the Parashat Derachim, he is surely saved. Comes the Gemara and says, Davar Acher, we have another interpretation. When it says kiner mitzvah v'torah or avera mechaba mitzvah, an avera is able to extinguish the reward of a mitzvah, the protection factor, just like you can extinguish a candle. Ve'en avera mechaba torah, but an avera cannot extinguish the power of Torah. Amar of Yosef, darshe Rabbi Menachem bar Yosef lehaikera. It says in pasuk kisinai. He explained the following pasuk as clear like Moshe Rabbeinu was doresh the pasukim on Har Sinai. Whenever a rabbi would give a clear derasha, they would say he explained it ki Sinai, like the clarity of Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And what did he say? Ve'ilmale darshua doeg va'achitofel acher. And if doeg and achitofel would have known this derasha, lo radfu batar David, they wouldn't have chased David. You see, David and Ahitofel, I'll tell you outside for a minute. their undoing was because they went against David HaMelech, and as a result of it, they got punished. Now, what was their rationale? How could they go against David HaMelech Yisrael? They felt that God was not with David anymore, because they knew David committed a situation where the Gemara says is really not a sin, but on David HaMelech's level, it was considered adultery, where he went with Bathsheba. So they said, he went with Bathsheba, he committed an Avera, and therefore the Avera is going to negate all his mitzvot, and therefore he's vulnerable. God is not with him. And they said like this, Dichtiv Lemor, they said, Elohim Azavo. They said, God has left David, and God is not going to protect him. Why? Might derush. What was the derasha? Velo yirae becha irbat davar. Pasuk says you cannot get involved in immorality, because if you do, what does the Torah say? Veshav me'acharecha. God says he's going to leave you. They said that we got involved in the sin. God is not with him. We could take him down. What they didn't know was ve'en enam yodim. That you're right, and avera may be able to extinguish the protective force of a mitzvah, but it's not able to extinguish the protective force of Torah. And David HaMelech Alav Shalom had the zechut of Torah as well, and they didn't know this rule of avera mechaba mitzvah ve'en avera mechaba Torah. If they would have known this, they might not have chased David HaMelech and fought against him. Comes the Gemara and says, "My boz yabuzulo." So Pasukin says like this: "In yiten ish et kol hol beto be'ahava." If a person gives all his money to somebody that studies Torah, be'ahava, somebody that studies the Torah, he's willing to support him. He gives all his money to support a rabbi to study Torah, or a young scholar. You know what the Pasuk says about him? Boz yabuzulo. He is humiliated. He is shamed. He is worthless. Why? Isn't it a good thing? The person wants to support somebody to study. So the Gemara says, Lo kishim'on ahi azariah, ve'lo kerabi yohanan de ben siya. These are two good examples. There was a rabbi called Azariah. He had a brother. His brother was Shim'on. Shim'on was a wealthy man. He used to support his brother to study Torah. And the Gemara said this was a beautiful situation, because the Gemara gives so much credit to the supporter that it actually refers to Azariah as Shim'on Ahi Azariah. Shim'on, the brother of Azariah. The Gemara gives credit in the second Zevarim to Shim'on. That's a good relationship. Or the relationship between Nabi Yohanan and the Ben Isi'ah. Nabi Yohanan was supported by the house of the exarch, the house of the president, which was also, they supported him to study Torah. So what's the case of a person that supports Torah where the Gemara says, Boz yabuzulo? Gemara says, Ela kehilel v'shavna. Like the story of the two brothers, Hillel and Shavna. V'chi atar avdimi amar, Hillel v'shavna achihavu. Hillel and Shavna were actually brothers. Hillel asak b'Torah. Hillel studied Torah. Shavna avad iska. And Shavna made panasa, made a living. Now we know that Hillel studied Torah in dire poverty. He didn't have anything. He didn't even have enough money to enter the Beit HaMidrash. Like the Gemara says, he climbed up the skylight and he lied himself flat on a wintry day and almost froze to death. In those difficult days, his brother Shavna did not offer to support him. Comes the Gemara and says, Hillel asak b'Torah, Shavna asavar eska lesof. After Hillel became accomplished and a celebrated scholar, Amar Le, so Shavna tells Hillel, Tan Na'arov, let's make a partnership. You learn and I'll get half your learning. Gemara, and I'll pay you. Viliflog, and we'll split. Yatstab Batkot Ve'amra, a heavenly voice came out and said, Im Yitain Ish Et Kolon Beto Be'ahava, Boz Yabuzudo, you're too late, Shavna. Now after he's a Tamil Akam, now you want to get half of the action? Where were you when he was suffering? And therefore, sometimes when a person comes to support Torah, if he's too late in the game, then he's already a support, will not be accepted. Comes the Gemara and continues, Omer ben Azai taught, Hayav Adam, Lelamed et Bito Torah. We learned in the Mishnah, according to ben Azai, he held that you have to teach your daughters Torah so they'll know exactly all the intricacies of the laws of Sotah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, sir. Kol ha-melamed et bito Torah, melamedah teflut. By teaching the girls Torah, it says teaching them immorality. Gemara says, Tifnut sal kadatach, which means, how can you say that? How can the Torah be called by teaching immorality? What does that mean over there? Ela ema ki'ilu nemeda tifnut. It's as if you are teaching a tifnut. Why? Because the Torah, specifically Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral tradition, the Gemara, gives a person a certain sharpness, gives a person a certain cunningness. And we're concerned that if a lady is going to study Torah, she's going to use that sharpness of the Talmud in order to find different ways to commit chas v'shalom, immorality and adultery, which means we don't want to make her too smart. This smartness over here is going to give her wisdom where she's going to use it for the wrong things. A man, however, when he studies Torah, he'll use the wisdom to fight the Nishayim, maybe, to fight evil. But a lady, she's going to use it for the wrong things. Therefore, the Bnei Ezer says, don't teach it, because she's going to abuse the wisdom and use it for the wrong things. Amar Rabbi Abu, my Ta'amad the Bnei Ezer, what's the reason that the Bnei Ezer says that if a person teaches his daughters Torah, and is teaching them Tifnut, Tikhtiv, Ani Chokhma, Shachanti Orma. So you see over here, the Chokhma is the Torah, and it says in the Pasuk, Ani Chokhma, Kevan Shenichnesa Chokhma Be'Adam. When a person gets Chokhma of Torah, Nichnesa Imo Armumit. Comes in the person also trickery. And therefore the lady is going to use it in order to sneak and the Chas V'Shalom to do her znut in privacy without anybody seeing. So therefore it's not a good thing. V'Rabbanan, which means, according to Ben Azai, Ben Azai says on the contrary, you have to teach your children Torah. Hay ani chokhma may avdele. What does he do with this pasuk? Mev'ele lech terbi Yosef terbi Hanina, damar bi Yosef terbi Hanina. En devre Torah mitkayimim, ela b'mi shema'amid atzmo arum alehen. Which means a person has to make himself arum, not sharp in this way. Arum over literally means naked. He has to be willing to divest himself from all physical, from all materialistic things. If a person wants to succeed in the Devrei Torah, he has to be arum. He has to stand practically naked, meaning from any physical benefits. Shene emar, ani chokhma, you want chokhma? Shachanti orma, I only rest in somebody that is totally divested from any physical pleasures. Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Rabbi Yohanan, en devre Torah mitkaymin ela b'mi shemesim atzmo kimi she'eno." Devre Torah can only rest on a person that thinks he's nothing. That person that does not have an ego. Shene emar v'achochma me'ayin timbaseh. Where will Chokhmah rest? It only rests in a person that says he's an ayin. He's a nothing. He's a person that has to be totally effaced. A person that has to be totally humble. That Chokhmah me'ayin is found in the people that consider themselves like ayin. Now it's worthy just to go for a moment to discuss this subject of teaching girls Torah, where the Gemara is now telling us we have a mahloket between Ben Azai and Rabbi the Ezer, are we allowed to teach the children Torah or not? The Tosafot over has a question. We know that there was a mitzvah that was done every 7 years. It was called the mitzvah of Hakel, where all the Jewish people would come and converge to Jerusalem, and they would have shiurim. The Gemara says that the men would come to learn, and the ladies would come to listen. That means they came to listen to Devrei Torah. You just said you can't teach them Torah. So Tosafot says, wait. Everybody agrees that the laws that they need to know for themselves, you're obligated to teach them. Every lady has to learn Hilchot Shabbat. Every lady has to learn Hilchot Tarat HaMishpacha. Every lady has to learn Hilchot Halah. All the ladies have to know all the laws that are pertinent to them. And that's what they taught them in Hakel. So we're not talking about that when it says that you can't teach your daughter's Torah. On the contrary, Halachot that is necessary for them, it is mandatory for them to learn. So then what are we talking about? So let's read the Rambam on this halakha. Isha, shelamda Torah yesh la schar, aval lo kischar ha'ish. She gets reward, but not as the man. Mepene she'ena mitzuvah ve'osah, because she's really not commanded. Va'afalpi she'yesh la schar, sivu hazal shelo yilmad adam et bito Torah, mepene she'rov ha'nashim, אין דעתן מכוונת לתלמד. They cannot understand it the right way. ומוציאות דברי תורה לדברי הווי. They're going to use the Torah for the wrong things. לפי עניות דעתן. אמרו חכמים, כל המלמד את ביתו תורה, כאילו מלמדה תפנות. במה דברים אמורים, when is this said, בתורה שבעל פה. Sort of teaching girls Torah is specifically to the Talmud. אבל בתורה שבכתב, when it comes to the Tanakh, לא ילמד אותה לכתחילה. You're not allowed to get it to teach her that either. ואם מלמדה, but if you teach it, it's okay. אינה כמלמדה תפנות. Which means, that which they said also, that you can't teach the girls Torah, the Taz explains over here, that's only talking about when you're teaching it, you know, בעיון and stuff like that. You want to teach the girls Tanakh, just, you know, on a basic understanding, of course, that would be permissible, and that is the minhag that they do today, that they do teach the ladies Tanakh, as well as the Sefer Hasidim writes, you have to teach the Peskei Halachot, also you have to teach them, like we said, the laws of Shabbat, and things like that. Also, the She'elot Igrot Moshe writes that the girls that are studying in the Bet Yaakov, they should not teach them Mishnayot, because Mishnayot is considered Torah Sheba'al Peh. However, they should be taught Pirkei Avot, because those types of Mishnayot are more ethical and moral Musar. Lessons and Musar and things like that. So that would be permissible as well. The Hafetz Chaim has a famous discussion on this subject, teaching girls Torah, where it seems in the olden days they didn't even teach them Torah Shebichtav. It seems ladies were not learning Torah at all. So the Hafetz Chaim writes, "V'nir'eh dechol ze davka bizmanim shelefaninu." This only applied in the olden generations. Shekol echad haya dar bimkom avotav. The kids would live at home. So by living at home, you'd have your tradition in order. They would learn the tradition from their parents. וקבלת האבות היה חזק מאוד. The מסורה was very strong. The heritage that the kids would inherit from their parents was very strong. אבל כל אצל כל אחד ועד התנהג בדרך שדרכו אבותיו. They would follow the custom of their parents. וכמאמר הכתוב שעל אביך ויגדך. וזה היינו יכולים לומר שלא תלמוד תורה. Which is, they used to get it in the house. All the education, just by living in a proper Jewish home, they were getting the proper education. ותסמוך בהנהגה על אבותי הישנים. אבל כעת, בעוונותינו הרבים, if you can rely on the house, the tradition of the parents became weakened. And therefore, what's the child going to learn in the house? She's not going to get the full measure of what our tradition is all about. וגם מצאו שאין עודד במקום אבותם. A lot of times the children move away. They get a little older maybe, they go out of town. ובפרט, אותם שמרגילים עצם ללמוד כתב ולשון, especially today where we have the battle of secular education, where we're battling a foreign culture, בוודאי, מצווה רבה, חפץ חיים says, today it's incumbent ללמדם חומש, you must teach the girls חומש, וגם מביאים the prophets, ומוסרי חזל, מוסר, פרקי אבות, דמוק המנורת המאור, in order they should have the proper tradition, and they should not have to sway from the path of Abotenu HaKedoshim. So therefore you see over here while teaching Gemara has not changed, ladies cannot study Gemara, they shouldn't be taught it as well, right? They're only taught the Tanakh and things like that. However, Chafetz Chaim is quickly saying it's needed that girls go and have a proper Torah education. The Sefarim say over here as well that even the Hafetz said that was matirit, it was only Torah Shebichtav, but not Torah Sheba'al Peh, as well as not the philosophy and things like that. Good. And that's exactly what we're relying today on the Bet Yaakov concept of education of the children. But still, one would have to search for a heter not to teach their children, the girls, Talmud and Mishnah. We have to trust the Hachamim that when they say that these things are not productive, that we have to accept their tradition. Let's go one more line in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Rotsa Isha, a lady would rather a kav, which is a small amount of money, vitifnut, but to have her husband's companionship. So the Gemara says, "My ka'amar." What does this mean? Haki ka'amar. Rotsa isha bekav v'tiflut imo, which means, like we explained it, a lady would rather little mizonot, however, with her husband close to her all the time, mitishat kabin, from having a lot of parnasa upirishut, but her husband being away from her. The reason why the Mishnah quoted this was to explain why the rabbi said that they shouldn't teach a girl Torah. Because she wants to be with a man. She wants to tiflut. She even wants to tiflut so much that she's willing to give up parnasa. So then be careful. If you're going to teach her Torah Sheba Al Peh, what's going to happen? She's going to use the cunningness of the Torah Sheba Al Peh to find the tiflut, to get involved in the trouble. And she wants it. And what's the proof? She's even willing to give up parnasa in order to get involved. So that's what the Gemara comes along and says, Hu haya omer. That said, Hasid Shote. We said there are certain personalities that destroy the world. One of these personalities that is a destroyer of the world is a Hasid. He makes himself like he's a Hasid, but he's a fool. What's the case of a Hasid Shote? Gemara says, Echida me Hasid Shote, kegon de kataba'a itita benahara. There's a lady that's drowning in the river. Ve'amar lav ora hara listakuleva ba'atsula. He says, I can't save her. It's not allowed to look at women. That's a fool. The guy's making himself like he's a big Hasid. But pikuach nefesh, somebody's dying over here. He says, no, I can't look at women. Therefore, he watches a lady drown. And therefore, the guy acts like he's a Hasidut, but he really is not a Hasid. He's a Hasid Shotena. Obviously, we're talking about where there's nobody else to save her. If there's a female lifeguard or somebody else over there that can save the person without delay, of course, he should not get involved over here because, of course, he should protect himself from the sinirut. But, of course, if he's the only one there, actually, I'd like to explain this to you clearer. If there's other people around that are able to save her, but he could save her with better odds. He's more experienced. The lifeguard. But he says, you know what? It's not sinirut for me. You're a Hasid Shote. You're a fool. But if there's nobody there and he lets the lady drown, that's not a Hasid Shote. That's a Rasha. That the guy's just an evil man. That's not a fool. There's a worse level. Which means if he just lets somebody that's less experienced take care of it, he's a fool. But if he lets her die, then already the guy's an outright Rasha. Of course, Pikuach Nefesh overrides all the mitzvot. Now the Gemara says, another guy that's a destroyer of the world is a Rasha Arum. A cunning Rasha. Hechi dameh Rasha Arum. What's the case of a cunning Rasha? Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Zeham Mate'im Devarav Ledayan Kodem Sheyavo Ba'al Din Havero. What he does is, he walks with the judge and he tells the judge his case before the other litigant is in front of the judge, and that's forbidden. Because once the judge hears one side without hearing the other, he's tainted. It's very hard to get rid of first impressions. The Torah clearly says, "Not tisa shem hashav." You're not allowed to corrupt the judge by giving him information when the other litigant is not in front. And if who's a rasha arum, he does it without the judge knowing. He just walks with him, and he tells him a story and so on. He plays with the judge's mind and programs the information, so when he's going to come to court, already the judge is blinded by his side. That's considered a rasha, that is arum. He is indeed tricky. Last case, Rabbi Abba Omer, you know we're talking about a rasha arum? Ze anoten dinar le'ani le'ashlim lo matayim zuz. We have a law like this. If an ani has less than 200 zuz, he qualifies for welfare. He can get all the entitlements in the field, and you can give him tzedakah. Once he gets 200 zuz, that's it. He's not considered a poor man and give him charity. So what does a guy do? He sees a guy has 199, he qualifies for as much charity as he wants. He goes, he gives him one zuz. Now, he has 200, now he can't collect anything. So the guy's a rasha arum, because now he's stopping the poor man from now being able to collect. So the Gemara says, "Ditnan mishiyesh lo matayim zuz lo yitol neket shechau pe'al maaser ani." He cannot take the entitlements of the field, nor can he take the Ma'asir Ani, the 10% that's given to the Aniim, the third in the city of the Shemitah. Hayalo Mataim Hasir Dinar. But if he has 200 minus 1 dinar, Afidu Elif Notim no Kahad. You can give him even 1,000 zoos in one shot. Right? Afidu Elif Notim no Kahad. That is a Yitol. He can take it. So the Rasha Arum sees a guy coming to collect Sedaka. What does he do? He gives him one coin. One coin finished. He's thrown off the line now because he cannot now accept Sedaka. That is indeed a Rasha Arum. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue this.